بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Said that before we commence with the kitab, we will just, as an introduction, mention certain aspects prior to salah. And we'll commence with istinja, when a person goes to relieve himself, the dua that is required to be recited at that particular time. And we said the dua, when a person leaves the toilet, he is asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And the various reasons we made mention, one was we said that a person is supposed to be in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala all the time. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهِ. All the time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in zikr. But when a person went into the toilet, then this is a place of impurity. A person cannot take the name of Allah Ta'ala. So when you leave now, you're making istighfar, you're seeking forgiveness, that this amount of my life, this portion of my life was void of the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then we also mentioned that Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned that we can see, we witness the outward impurity, we can see it. But in our hearts, there's so much of impurity. And we made mention of one particular disease, and that was of pride. That what a danger is, this is a killer disease. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, he says that when any murid comes to my khanqah, he says perhaps his outward appearance is not in order. He's not dressed according to sunnah. His salah is not in order, which is extremely important. That is why we are doing this course on salah. But he says then too, he says, we don't pay immediate attention to that. If he has pride, we attend to that pride immediately. Because this is the obstacle, this will become a barrier from a person entering into Jannah. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. An atom's weight of pride, a man won't enter into Jannah. Previously also we mentioned, regarding Hazrat Maulana Alimiya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, what a great mufassir of the Quran, how knowledgeable he was. And he himself used to always object that what's this people doing, they sitting in front of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. But the time came in his life, where Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq, he went and he sat before Hazrat Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. And when he sat there, and himself being a mufassir of the Quran, made tafsir of Quran, what a master of the Arabic language. And Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh, in his simple way, made tafsir of the Quran, what he said. He says, Pata nahi kis andaaz se bayan kiya, goya aaj bhi Quran nazil hua. He says, I don't know how he explained. A mufassir is saying, I don't know how Mullah Thanwi rahmatullah explained the Quran. He says, goya aaj bhi Quran nazil hua, as though Quran came down now. That is Ahle Dil. When they speak, it has the effect on the heart. So, when Mullah Alimiya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, when that nisbat came, when that connection with Allah Ta'ala came now, then he used to say, Wada milne ka shab-e akhir mein hai. Wada milne ka shab-e akhir mein hai. Subah se intizar-e sham hai. That the time to meet Allah Ta'ala, this is the last portion of the night. This is the time of tahajjud. This is the time a man meets Allah Ta'ala. And he says that from the morning, we are waiting now. When is the time going to come where you're going to meet your beloved, where you're going to meet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? This is just by staying a little bit in the company. So the point that I was coming to is, when he was leaving the company of Mullah Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, so he told Mullah Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, give me some nasihat. So Mullah Thanwi rahmatullah alayh says, at that time, even I was in doubt. He says, even I was in doubt. That what nasihat I'm going to give this man? He's the allama of the time. He's the mufassir of the Quran. He's got such authority over the Arabic language. What can I tell this person? So at that time, Mullah Thanwi rahmatullah alayh says, I turn to Allah Ta'ala. What is beneficial for him, what is beneficial for me, you put into my heart. So at that time Allah Ta'ala put into his heart and he said, bhai ye hamare tareek mein awwal se akhir tak apne aap ko mitana hai, apne aap ko mitana hai, apne aap ko mitana hai. And he pointed to the chest of Mullah Alimiya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. He says from that point onwards, so much of tawazu, that pride, normally when a person has a lot of knowledge, then generally slowly pride also creeps in. So he annihilated himself to the extent that of that Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi rahmatullah alayhi says that I saw Mala Alimiya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi in the entrance of the Khanqah in Thanabol. He was straightening everybody's shoes. So this is what Mala Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi saying. The great Mufti of the Darulum Dioban, Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib, if I'm not mistaken his name was. So in the area where Mufti Sahib stayed, there was a whole lot of widows that used to stay there. And obviously his level of taqwa was that high also. So every morning before he goes to the Darul Iftar, he used to go and ask them. There was no one to take care, perhaps they were elderly in age also. Ask them that, do you need anything? So they'll have a list ready. and they would give him the list. Somebody would say, I want this vegetable. Somebody would say, I need this fruit. I need this from the marketplace. So the Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband, he will take the list and he'll go to the marketplace. And then he will buy every one of them, whatever they need was, whatever their requisite was, he will bring it and he will come and deliver it to them. So when he will bring it back, some will say, but this is not what I wanted. This is not what I wanted. I wanted something else. You brought the wrong thing. Because the lady, her specification may be different. You understood it differently. So he'll say, no problem. He'll take it, he'll go back, he'll purchase it. And then he'll come and he'll return it, and then he will go to madrasa. This is how much of tawazu. This is how much of humbleness. We all in need of it. I myself, I am most in need of it. That is why we talk about these things. So Allah Ta'ala gives us the reality of these things. So this is what Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that think that this is outward impurity. But my heart, how much of impurity is still in my heart? The third view was that of Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahib Saranpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi said that this is such a great ni'mat of Allah. That a man was able to relieve himself in the toilet. And he's protected from so much of harm. If that waste had to remain in, how many diseases could have been created? One person was saying, he came to Darul Ifta a few days ago. He went for a holiday. And when he came back from the holiday, he was ill. So he was explaining to me, I asked him, what's wrong? What happened? So he says that some bug or something just bit him. And he says that little bit of lava, just a little bit of it, that went into the body. So he says that now started circulating the body. Body. What was the consequence? He says all over the body, now boils started coming out. So he says now you have some cause that this must now come out of the system. So that is a little insect. So this impurity that is in the body, that it comes out, what a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala this is. So he says we make shukr. When we come out, we sing Alhamdulillah. We're making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. But in the manner we're supposed to be making shukr, we're not making shukr in that way. Our shukr is very, very deficient. So on that we're asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, that Allah forgive me, that I couldn't make shukr in the manner that I'm supposed to be making shukr to you. And we stopped at this point. The fourth thing is the view of one alim, Allama Maghribi Rahmatullah Ali, in the commentary of Abu Dawud Sharif. He mentioned this. He says, when Adam alayhi salam was taken out of Jannat, and Adam alayhi salam was sent to the world. So in Jannat, there was no toilet there. There was no relieving yourself. A Jannati, for him, is just one burp. He eats all the bounties, all the food, fruits of Jannat, all the food of Jannat, and he's just one burp. And here also, this beautiful smell of ether, and the ether of Jannat, not the ether of this world. So here when he came to the world, for the first time when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam had to pass through, he had to relieve himself, so there was a stench. So Adam alayhi salam attributed it to the fruit that he ate of Jannat. That because I did wrong, and in error I ate this fruit, this is the consequence, this is the smell of it. So on that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he sought forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Although many ulama say this is a very weak view, but this is one view that is there as well. Also when a person he goes, he should think to himself a little bit, that when he's sitting in the toilet, that this is the result of the food that I had eaten. And the food that came to me, did it come to me like this? It didn't come like this. How that food came to us, how Allah Ta'ala gave us that one plate of biryani. The rice, somewhere maybe in Pakistan, somewhere from Thailand, those that are eating Thai rice, Thailand, the rice is coming from, somewhere in Pakistan. And they planted it there, they plowed the land, they grew it, they picked it, they put it into bags, they shipped it, it came to our country. And then finally, through the whole process, such a long process, we cannot even explain all that, it finally came into our home. And the meat, if we had to look at the sheep, where was it grown? Maybe somewhere in the Karoo. And the vegetables somewhere else, the spices that are in there, Zanzibar, Malawi, it was, that's where the spices come from. All this put together, and you got one plate of biryani which Allah Ta'ala gives you. The whole world works for you just for that one plate of biryani. Hazrat explains, he says that a person that got marifat of Allah Ta'ala, he has recognized Allah. When he looks at his food, where he reaches, how he reaches Allah Ta'ala and how far he reaches, just by thinking of that food that he is eating. And every meal, just if you have to look at the tea that we drink, how many things in the tea, where the tea leaves grew, and how it was packed, and how it was put into boxes, and how it was shipped, and then in there is milk, and then water, and then the kettle manufacturer. So much there is there also. And then the cup that we're drinking it, how many people worked in making that cup, the saucer, the spoon that we use, the sugar that is manufactured. One cup of tea, how many ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala? So an arif, where he reaches in his food, a person that hasn't recognized Allah in his tahajjud namaz, he won't get there. you won't get there, you need tahajjud namaz. So that marifat of Allah Ta'ala is a great thing. So think of that food, that how this food came to me. There was one buzruk in the Naqshbandi silsila, and he mentioned that he had a farm. He had his khanqa also running. People used to come to his khanqa, so he had a farm. So he used to plant everything, do everything himself. Never kept anyone to work for him. So he used to plow the land himself. He used to plant, put in the seed. That he used to put it himself. He used to water it himself. And when the wheat or whatever was ready, then he will harvest it himself. And then obviously it needs to be clean. So now he will separate it. He will clean it. And then they will crush it. And then they would make the roti, they would make the bread. So he was such that he would also stay in the state of wudu all the time. And the wife also, all the time in the state of wudu. So when the bread would be prepared, then when he would come to the khanqa, those muridin that were there, and he would bring this for them, he would tell them that when I plowed the land, I was in the state of wudu. When I put in the seed, I was in the state of wudu. When I watered my land, I was in the state of wudu. When I cut off the crop, when I harvested it, then too I was in the state of wudu. When I took it home, and when I cleaned it, then I was in the state of wudu. He and his wife would sit after Isha and clean it themselves. And when we made it, we turned it into flour, we crushed it, I was in the state of wudu. And when the bread was made, it was baked, we were in the state of wudu. He says, if only you people could eat it in the state of wudu. But leave wudu. Ask ourselves, do we read Bismillah? At the time of eating, do we take the name of Allah Ta'ala and do we eat that food? Many times, iftar time also, we forget. We forget. We read the dua sometimes, but we don't take the name of Allah, we don't read Bismillah. They also, we are taking the name of Allah, but read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah wa barakatillah. Read this and then eat our food. As Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, this food is such a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sends it for us, Allah Ta'ala sends it for us, Allah Ta'ala sends it for us. And every grain, our name is written on that grain. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam once, he told Allah Ta'ala, you must have heard this before also, that Allah want to feed your creation. Allah Ta'ala says, Sulaiman, you can't do it. You can't do it. What a mighty kingdom he had. It is mentioned how Allah Ta'ala gave him. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion, he made dua. He made dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah, the love that my father Dawud alayhi salam had for you, that love give it to me. And the fear that Dawud alayhi salam had for you, that fear, O Allah, grant it to me. He mentioned, Allah Ta'ala became so happy that at the time, Aina Ita'at, at that time when he was actually in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, he was obeying every command of Allah. At that time, he's asking for the love of Allah Ta'ala and he's asking for the fear of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala said, I'll give him such a kingdom, according to this narration, I'll give him such a kingdom which I never gave anyone. That is when jinnat, insan, everyone Allah Ta'ala put under him, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is when he took up this courage and he said, Allah, I want to feed your creation. Allah Ta'ala said, Sulaiman, you can't do this. He said, Ya Allah, give me the opportunity. Allah Ta'ala says, fine, I'll give you the opportunity. So when he gave him this opportunity, he got the jinnat to start preparing. They used to make the degs, manufacture the degs also. So they started manufacturing. And for months, perhaps years, they had prepared and they stored. When Sulaiman al-Islam felt that now it's enough, I can feed. So he told Allah, I'm now ready. So Allah Ta'ala says, where? The ocean? Or on land? Where you want to start? So he was close to the ocean. So he said, with the ocean. We'll start with the ocean. So he sent one fish. One fish. And what is the fish? One fish that is in the ocean, if we have to Google it and we have to check how big is one fish of the ocean. The biggest that they have discovered so far is the blue whale. The blue whale is about 30 meters long. 30 meters. How many meters is an aeroplane? 30 meters long is a whale. And it weighs 180 tons. Your bucky is 1 ton. This is 180 tons. This is how big one fish is. So one fish came. And the jinnah started pouring the degs, feeding it, opened his mouth. So they poured the degs. And they fed this fish. It finished everything and still waited for more. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, all this you ate, all this. You ate all this food. And there's nothing left. So the fish, Allah Ta'ala gave you the ability to speak. It said that all praise is due to Allah, Sulaiman, that what you have given me 3 times more Allah Ta'ala gives me every day. Every day Allah Ta'ala gives me. So when a person goes, now he relieves himself, then think that when that food came into my company, then what is my condition? And we think that I am pious, I am a good person, I am this type of a person. But the food came into my company, what happened to that food? Allah says, we spoil everything. That beautiful biryani, what we did to that biryani? We spoil everything. And still we think that I am good. So this humbleness must come. That I am absolutely nothing. Everything, every Muslim in the world is better than me. Every Muslim currently in the world, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah used to address himself, and Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah used to say, every Muslim in the world currently, he is better than me. And every kafir in the world is better than me in regards to the future. In regards to the future. Because you don't know how that kafir is going to leave the world. It's possible he will leave the world with iman, but I don't know whether I'm going to leave with iman. Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, he sees one Hindu, sees him in Jannat. He sees him in Jannat. So he said, for you, how you got here? For you, it was taboo. It was prohibited. You couldn't enter into Jannat. He says, at the time of death, Allah Ta'ala sent a farishta, he made me recite kalima. Made me recite kalima. And many such incidents we hear. One person in KZN, he had a shibin. He had a shibin. Selling alcohol. Haram. His income is haram. Nobody will tell you that it is permissible. It's haram. 100% haram. But Ramadan, he closed it up. Closed it up in Ramadan. So his customer said, but we're not Muslim. We'll buy from you. Why are you closing it up? So he said, no. 11 months of the year, I can do anything. That's mine. This month doesn't belong to me. This is Allah Ta'ala's month. I can't play in this month. He passed away 27th night of Ramadan. So we don't know what is the position of a person in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So nevertheless, the food also, always think that a kafir is better than me. Because it's possible he'll die with iman. I don't know how I'm going to leave this world. On the day of Qiyamah, to this extent that even think that the animals are better than me. I'm worse than a dog also. And I'm worse than a swine also. Why? Because on the day of Qiyamah, for that animal, there is no hisab kitab, except that if an animal oppressed another animal, then he will be told that now take revenge. The one that was injured, take revenge. And then they will be turned to dust. That is why the kafir on the day of Qiyamah, he'll say, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. That I wish I could be also turned to dust. So nevertheless, to think of these things, that I am the worst. Nevertheless, as Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, see all these du'as that we have to recite during the day, the sunnah, the masnoon du'as. From the time a person wakes up in the morning, he reads the dua. He goes to the toilet, he comes out, he reads the dua. He leaves his home, he reads the dua. At the time of sunrise, he reads the dua. So the Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali has written that we are supposed to be in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala all the time, 24 hours. But we cannot do it. It's almost impossible that a person is 24 hours in the zikr of Allah. So he says, Allah Ta'ala has put these du'as in place, that if you just read these du'as throughout the day, it will be as though a person is in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala throughout the day. So this is in regards to the du'a when we leave the toilet. Another aspect, one more aspect in regards to the toilet, is that when we go to the toilet, and it comes in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الْغَائِطَ فَلَا تَسْتَقْبِلُ الْقِبْلَةَ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُهَا. That when you come to relieve yourself, when you come to the toilet, don't face in the direction of Qibla. Alhamdulillah, our masjid, everything is built correctly. Perhaps in our homes, we structured it, our homes are built correctly, the toilet is not in the direction of Qibla. But sometimes we go somewhere on a holiday, or perhaps somewhere we go to another place and we have to use a toilet. So it could be possible that the toilet is built in the direction of Qibla. So there a person should not face in the direction of Qibla. He should tilt his body, he should turn a little bit. And then a person should relieve himself. Why? Because from Kaaba Sharif, from the direction of Qibla, we are facing Kaaba Sharif when we're reading Salah. So this is in the direction of Kaaba Sharif. There is positive rays that is being given off from Kaaba Sharif throughout the day, 24 hours of the day. From Kaaba Sharif, there's positive rays. Now when we're going to relieve ourselves, that is impurity. So from there you're getting positive, and here is negative. So when negative and positive, they clash, we're going to have problems in our life. This has it explained also. He says, many a time we have problems in our life. So we wonder, what's the problem? Why I got problems in my life? We're going to doctors, we're going to Maulana's, Amil, but we can't find the solution to the problem. So he says, many a times in our homes, think of our homes a little bit. So he says, here in our homes, we have a television. And the television we play. In that same home where we have a television, or in the same room that we have a television, on the wall, you got idol kursi. You got Surah Yasin. You got the final sermon of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of Hajjatul Wada. All this we got in the same room. Now from the television, what's there? Only filth. Music, nudity, only filth that's coming out from there. And from all this that's on the wall, what's coming out? Only positive. So positive and negative. Now we end up with problems in our life. So now we wonder where we went wrong. So this is the problem. We bring these problems upon ourselves. Then we say somebody did black magic. There's no black magic. We did black magic to ourselves. Because there's negative and positive over here. So when a person goes to the toilet also, a person should be very careful. And when a person goes to the toilet, a person should be very careful of urine drops, of splashes also. That many a time the person goes, uses the high pan. So there a person should throw in some toilet paper or something in first. So there's no splashes. Otherwise that napaki comes back, it splashes onto our body, and then we come into the masjid, and then we performing salah. But there's napaki on our body, so how is the salah going to be valid? It's mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, استنزهوا من البول فإن عامة عذاب القبر منه فإن عامة عذاب القبر منه. That refrain from these urine drops. That the azab of the qabr generally is because of urine drops. When a person is not particular, when he goes to relieve himself, and there's urine drops. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Then we come to the aspect of wudu. That when a person, he makes a proper wudu, a perfect wudu, then on a perfect wudu it is mentioned that when a person washes his face also, then all the gunas of the eyes, it is washed out. Allah Ta'ala forgives him for the gunas of the eyes. And when he washes his hand, then whatever wrong he had done with his hand, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala washes all that out also. Allah Ta'ala wipes it out. حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ نَقِيًّا مِنَ الظُّنُوبِ. Until he comes out clean from all his gunas. Obviously the scholars say here that it refers to the minor sin, doesn't refer to the major sin, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives a person. When a person makes guna, then there is a black spot that appears on the heart. And if he doesn't make tawbah, then, and he commits another guna, then this increases until the time comes in his life where it is covered with rust. رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْتِبُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says that rust now covers the heart. Now that person, when his heart is covered with that rust, now you speak to him, you give him advice, he won't be able to accept. Why? Because his heart has been covered. So here these are occasions where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, through these actions, through salah, etc., many gunas Allah Ta'ala forgives. And if it's major sins, then a person has to make tawbah to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Although there are some narrations that say that if a person, he performs a perfect salah, he performs a perfect salah, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive even his major sins through the barakat of salah. Minor sins also, major sins also. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will enter him into Jannah. Now in wudu, there are few aspects. One is in regards to the miswak, which we discussed in our sunnah kitab. So in regards to miswak, I mentioned there also, we'll just quickly mention these few points. According to the Hanafi mazhab, then miswak should be used at the time of wudu. In the kulli wudu'in. So a person, he made wudu, he used the miswak, and he read several namazes, he will get the reward of using miswak for all those namazes, although it was just one wudu. And for Shafi'is, at the time of every salah, they have to use the miswak. Hazrat Atta bin Abi Rabah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فَاسْتَاكُ عَرْضًا. That when you use the miswak, it must be used horizontally. Horizontally it must be used, not vertically, up and down, like how you use a toothbrush, horizontally. Here also, it must be used horizontally. Now here the question comes about, that many people ask, that can a person substitute the miswak with a toothbrush? Can you use a toothbrush instead of using the miswak? So I mentioned that time, that we'll discuss it later. So there's two sunnahs over here in regards to the miswak. One is use of a miswak. One is to make miswak. One is to make miswak, that is to brush the teeth, to make miswak. And one is to use the actual miswak itself. These are two separate aspects. One is to make miswak, to use the miswak on the teeth. And the other is to use the actual miswak. So if a person, for some reason, he forgot his miswak, or he doesn't have a miswak for whatever reason, so this person, if he used, for example, his finger when he's making wudu, instead of now using the miswak, because he doesn't have a miswak, so he uses his finger, then the narration comes in Bayhaqi Sharif, that it will suffice. It will suffice a person. تُدْزِعُ مِنَ الْأَصَابِعُ. That to use the finger, that will suffice. And he will get the reward of that aspect. But of using the actual miswak, there he won't get the reward. Because there you'll have to use the actual miswak to get the reward. When we wake up first thing in the morning also, one of the sunnah days, that when you wake up first thing in the morning, you must use the miswak. So a person shouldn't substitute it there with the toothbrush. You use the miswak first. And then if a person wants to use the toothbrush and the toothpaste, then he can use the toothbrush and toothpaste. But the first thing in the morning, he should use the miswak. So here also, there are two things. One is the using of the miswak, one is making miswak, and one is using of the actual miswak. Also, another aspect in regards to wudu, many a times is negligence, is when we're making wudu, then the elbows, this is left dry, or a portion is left dry. We are negligent of this. Salah won't be valid, because if wudu is not valid, your salah is not valid. And the second place is the heels. In the hadith it is mentioned, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ, that woe, destruction for those heels from the fire of Jahannam. That the heels is neglected. So a person, especially on a cold day, be careful that these areas are not left out. Also, after the wudu of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to perform wudu, this is something that we are very negligent in regards to, that we don't do, other than the month of Ramadan, not in Ramadan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take the leftover water. They used to use a lota to make wudu. So the leftover water that was there of the wudu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take it and used to drink it. It's mentioned, فَأَخَذَ فَضْلَ تَهُورِهِ فَشَرِبَهُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ, while standing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take the leftover water of wudu, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then drink that water whilst he was standing. So therefore some ulama have mentioned that two types of water you can stand and drink. One is the leftover water of wudu. You can drink this water whilst you are standing. And the other water they say you can stand and drink is the water of Zamzam. Although Allama Shami rahmatullahi hasn't agreed with this. He's one of the great jurists in the Hanafi fiqh. He doesn't agree with this. He says that you cannot say it is mustahab, neither can you say it is sunnah to do so. He says it is mubah, it is permissible. If a person does it, he stands and he drinks the water of wudu, it's okay, it's acceptable. And if he stands and he drinks the water of Zamzam, we're talking of back home, then also he says it is mubah, it is acceptable. Because he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he drank the water of Zamzam, and he was standing, at that time, there was no place around Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People were sitting around Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there was no place for him to sit and drink the water of Zamzam. That is why he stood and he drank the water of Zamzam. And when he drank the water of wudu, the leftover water after he made wudu, then this he did to show the Sahaba that were there that this water is not impure. It is clean water, and it is not makruh. It is not abhorrent for you to drink this water. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drank this water. So that is one aspect that after making wudu, I'll come to the reason now why Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullahi says we should do this, that a person should drink that water. And the second thing a person should do on the completion of wudu, it comes in the hadith, إِذَا تَوَضَّعْتَ فَانْتَضِحْ, that when you make wudu, then after your wudu, take some water and sprinkle this water around your private part, on your pants, just sprinkle a little bit of water. Now, this will save a person from many, many wasawis, as we explained on the Thursday. People suffer from a lot of thoughts. It will protect a person from many, many wasawis. Allah Ta'ala reward our akabirin, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi. What an alim, what a great senior. Allah Ta'ala give them jazai khair, and we must make a lot of shukr that we are following the path of the ulama'i Dioban. What understanding of deen Allah Ta'ala has given them. Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi explained this, these two aspects. And he said, see, actually, the wudu that we make, he says, is for our internal purity, to purify the inside. But what are we washing in wudu? He says, we're washing the external limbs. We're not washing inside. We are washing the external limbs. So he said that there are two actions that are mustahab. And if you do these two actions, which are mustahab, then you will attain that internal purification. And what is that? Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullahi said, the first thing is, that drink the water after wudu, whatever water is left over. So in today's time, we don't use a lota. So a little bit from the tap, we can drink it from there. So he says, drink that water, that will cleanse the stomach of a person. Cleanse the heart, the stomach of a person. And he said, the second thing is, that take the water and sprinkle it around the private part. So that will protect you from that. So from here, he draws conclusion, and he says, there are two serious gunas. These are two serious gunas. He says the one guna, which is a serious guna, is the guna of the tongue. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that it is the consequence of the tongue that will make many, many people fall headlong into the fire of Jahannam. So here we are drinking that water, Allah Ta'ala cleanses us. So he says that is one serious issue. And the second is the private part. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned another hadith, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. A man that protects that which is between his jaws, his tongue, and that which is between his private parts, I take responsibility of Jannah for that person. So here, when a person acts on these two things, which is mustahab, then a person will attain his internal purification. The other aspect is in regards to the wastage of water when we make wudu. That how much of water Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made wudu, now Alhamdulillah, the mud has come. Before, we never have the mud. I think Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Motara started of England. They started from there, and the mud was now distributed. And Alhamdulillah, in South Africa also, we had it, Mawlana Musa Sahab and others have shown how it should be used as well. So this mud, that was the amount of water Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used for wudu. Now what is a mud? How much of water? A mud is 796 grams. 796 grams is one mud. If you have to convert this into literage, it comes to the same thing, 0.796 liters. So under 1 liter of water, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made wudu. And who could have made a more perfect wudu than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That was the perfect wudu. And he made it in how much? 0.796. The ghusl of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was four mud, one sa. One sa is equal to four mud, four of that mud that you get. So that comes to 3.184 liters. In 3.2 liters of water, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was able to take a complete ghusl. We open the tap, how many liters is gone? So be careful of the water that we use, especially the water that is masjid water. And not only masjid water, wherever we are. I mentioned the other day also, even a man that is on the river bank, and you're making wuzu at the river bank, they also, fuqaha say, you're not allowed to waste water there also. They also do not waste water. So be very, very particular of the water. That's the great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then comes the actual salah itself. Now when we come to salah, now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for all his commandments, whether it was zakat, whether it was hajj, etc., Allah ta'ala sent down Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that this is the law, this is the rule. Various verses of the Quran, Jibreel alayhi salam was sent down. But when it came to salah, Allah ta'ala didn't send down Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala called Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam to the top. And then Allah ta'ala gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam this gift of salah. Now the times of salah, once salah was made obligatory on this ummah, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam made imamat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He was the imam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam followed. So he came on 2 days. On the first day he came, and he read every salah in the first time of salah, when the salah time starts. So on the first day, every salah, Fajr in the first time, Zohar first time, Asr in the first time, Maghrib, Isha, etc. And then Jibreel alayhi salam came the next day. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he performed the salah in the last times of salah. What was the final time when the salah time expires? So he said, this time in between, from this point to this point, this is the time of salah. So the times of salah were also explained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And every salah that we have from Fajr right up to Isha, these were given to various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. For example, the Fajr salah. When Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he was sent down from Jannat. When he came into the world, it was dark, it was night. So he was here in darkness and he stayed. So after some time, as the night went by and it was now coming towards sunrise, so he saw brightness. So at that time, out of shukr, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam read 2 rakats of namaz. So that is the time of Fajr. That's how we got the Fajr salah. That Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he made the Fajr salah. The Zohar salah. The first person to make the Zohar salah was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was commanded to slaughter his son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. This was at that time. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he read namaz, the 4 rakats he read at that time. So that is where we got the Zohar Salah. With the sacrifice, when he went to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. The third Salah, which is the Asr Salah, this was performed by Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. When Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, when he ran away, the lengthy incident, when he ran away, is abaqa ila al-fulkil mashhoon, to that boat that was full of people, he got into that boat. So that boat ran into danger. And when it ran into danger, they said, somebody has run away from his master. So they took everyone's name. فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُضْحَدِينَ. They started casting lots, taking out everyone's names. So Yunus alayhi salam's name came out. First time, second time, third time. Say, no man, this is a pious man. Can't be him. So Yunus alayhi salam said, no, it's me. It is me. So he said, I'll jump into the ocean. So he jumped into the ocean. فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. So the fish that was there followed Yunus alayhi salam up. Allah Ta'ala said that he's not your provision. Just store him. According to some narration, they say 40 days. Some narrations say 7 days. There's different narrations. How long he remained in the stomach of the fish. فَلَوْلَا Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Had he not made the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala, then he would have remained in the stomach of the fish till the day of Qiyamah. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. That's why some say that this is the Ism-i Azam. This is the Ism-i Azam. So he read this, and then Allah Ta'ala removed him. When he was thrown onto the shore, it is mentioned at that time, there was nothing there, absolutely nothing. One goat, how Allah Ta'ala, look at how Allah Ta'ala makes provision for risk. One goat will come every morning. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam will milk that goat, and he will drink his milk. He got his morning, his food for the morning. And that goat will go away. It will come back in the evening. Again Yunus alayhi salam will milk it, and he will drink it again. Your risk is written. It is meant to come, it is going to come. And in this way Allah Ta'ala took care of Yunus alayhi salam. So the first person that read the Asr Salah, that was this Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. This Allama Aini rahmatullahi has written in the commentary of Hidayah that the first was, all these namazes that I'm explaining, this is the explanation of Allama Aini rahmatullahi. Inshallah we'll continue from here.